The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
I invite you to open the Word of God this morning, and we'll read John chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. John chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Jesus had to pass through Samaria, so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Hear too the word of God. Well, Pannenberg has told us that Christology from below is the way to go. And Donald MacLeod, in his book on the person of Christ, says that the Christologies of the New Testament are Christologies from above, but very often the text of Scripture itself breaks our categories and bursts through and is totally different from what we might expect. And when we look at John's Gospel, we can say, yes, John chapter 3, Christology from above, the Lord who descends from heaven. When we get to John 4, we find a totally different situation, and we might be tempted to say, yes, Christology from below. But perhaps in both cases, the best expression is Calvin's, a Christology of mediation. When we consider Christ in his role as mediator in these short verses, some very beautiful things appear. First of all, the complete humility of our Lord Jesus Christ. His complete humility. He was totally alone. His disciples had left to buy food. He was alone in the mediation that characterizes his messianic office. His aloneness characterizes moments in his ministry when he acts specifically as mediator and Messiah. The temptation in the wilderness, the prayer in the garden, the aloneness of the cross, and finally, the catastrophic fourth word, the aloneness of Jesus Christ as Messiah. And the woman who came was also alone, and she was alone for a totally different reason. She was alone because of the suffering of sin. She came at midday, no doubt, for very specific reasons. No one else would be there. And it's the suffering in her life which is expressed in her aloneness. Jesus is alone by choice, and the woman is alone by consequence. And the aloneness of Jesus joins him in his suffering to the suffering of the woman. Jesus in his aloneness is joined to suffering sinners to participate in their experiences with them, in an act of total and complete humiliation. But the woman, as you well know, is a woman. And moreover, she's a Samaritan. And finally, she's a sinner. But Jesus treated her not as a pariah, but as an equal. Jesus did not condescend to her. Jesus showed great compassion for her. The proud do not act in this way. They like auditoriums like this, big audiences, and lots of people listening to them. The Lord Jesus chose to be alone with the woman. He dared to break the political correctness of the time to be with this suffering person. Was it fortuitous? No, I don't think so. I think it was by choice that Jesus chose to meet this woman alone. I think it was by choice because he knew who she was. He knew her life story. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounding love thou art. Here we see the compassion and the love of Jesus in the condescension of his humility towards this person. Secondly, we see the poverty and the affliction of the Lord Jesus himself. Verse 6, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. Jesus was tired. He was hot. He was thirsty. And he was hungry because his disciples had gone to buy food. The one who was the giver of life knew the tiredness of human fatigue. The one who could still the winds was not fanned by any gentle breeze to reduce his sweating. The one who would give the water of life was thirsty. And the one who owned the cattle on 1,000 hills was hungry. And Jesus traveled without provision. He had to send his disciples to buy food. The kings of the earth do not do so. They travel in stretch limos and presidential jets. But Jesus was the one who didn't have a place to lay his head. The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. But here we see the total poverty and affliction of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus sat in the dust because he was tired. No doubt he leaned against the well to support his back and ease his weary feet. And as he sat down, the dust of the earth stuck to his sweating hands. As he sat there in the dust, the Lord of glory was brought low, down to the dust from which he created man, as he sat to talk to this woman. The final thing I'd like to note is in verse 7. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Jesus stoops to save. Jesus asks for a drink. And he asks for that drink because of a specific spiritual intention. Jesus will bring the conversation to the water of life, to the true water. But he asks for a drink, not just because he's thirsty, but to show that everything which is human can be transvalued and transformed by the Lord's Spirit. Jesus' intention is to give the water of life. So Jesus comes down to a human level and asks for a drink in order to lift up to a spiritual, to a divine level and give the water of life. Jacob's well. Jesus has descended the ladder of the incarnation and now asks for water, of which he is the creator, in order to give the water of life. This is the new Bethel. This is the new presence of God. This is God in Christ stooping to save. This is truly wonderful. And how will he save? How will he reveal himself? We know, says the woman, that when the Messiah comes, he will reveal all things to us. And Jesus replies, it's just as you say, I who speak to you am he. In the height of his humiliation, in the height of his poverty and his personal affliction, Jesus confesses himself, reveals himself as the I am he. And here we have joined together in a most wonderful way the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ and his glory, the fullness of his descent amongst us, and the greatness of the truth, his own personal self that he reveals as being the truth of salvation. In humility, Jesus reveals his divinity. The divine and the human are perfectly joined together in the incarnation and in the message Jesus brings. As we meditate upon the humility of Jesus, as we meditate on his poverty and his affliction, and as we meditate on the fact that he stoops to conquer and to save, may we also remember the path of the Christian life. It's with the crown of thorns that the crown of glory comes. It's through humility and compassion and love and poverty that the Lord reveals his power. It's through weakness that the strength of God is revealed. And may these lessons teach us to wean ourselves from that overbearing admiration for money, for fame, for ambition, for our own ends in life. May we learn by the grace of God that if we wish to conquer with Christ, we must be humiliated with him. If we wish to know his glory, we must share with his suffering. Amen. I invite you to a word of prayer. Father our God, this morning we are humiliated before you as we contemplate the Lord Jesus Christ and how he acted. We confess our sin, that all too often we have been self-seeking, ambitious, proud, full of our own glory, and we have forgotten what our calling is through our self-centeredness. Father, we pray that you would bring us to our knees before you to recognize that anything we have comes from you, and that if we are what we are today, it's because you have condescended and shown compassion and mercy toward us as sinners, as you showed to the woman at Samaria. And you have given us the water of life freely. And we confess that it's all by grace from you, and of ourselves we are nothing. We pray, Almighty God, that the image of the Lord Jesus Christ might be formed in us so that we might be equipped for your service to glorify your name, because you alone are worthy of glory, honor, dominion, and power, now and forever. Amen.